Forgiven to forgive. Webster's defines forgiveness as to give up wanting to punish, to pardon. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." An unbeliever has no capacity to forgive, even though we as believers sometimes expect them to. Only the forgiven of God have the supernatural ability to forgive others. Matthew 6:12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We as believers are commanded of God to forgive others regardless of the offense. Just as God gave up the life and rights of his Son in order that all who believe may be eternally forgiven, so must we give up our lives and our rights to punish those who have offended us. In Matthew 6:14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That is a sobering thought. Forgiving others is evidence that we are saved and that we are his disciples. In John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." God's love gives and forgives, and we are called to do the same. 1 John 1:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." We, as believers, are forgiven to forgive. Unforgiveness is the greatest sin in the church today. It is the only sin that blocks access to the supernatural flow of the miraculous power of the kingdom of God. I can assure you that God will not bless an individual, a marriage, a nation, or a church that is full of believers that refuse to forgive. Unforgiveness is the spirit of Antichrist, and forgiveness is the spirit of God that opens up the floodgates of heaven. Matthew 18:21-35 says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, which is about $450,000. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about $15,000. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." This parable illustrates the principle of forgiveness and how God deals with an unforgiving believer. He turns them over to torturers. Unforgiveness gives Satan permission to torment the believer's mind. Matthew 18:18 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Unforgiveness binds up or stops the flow of God's miraculous power, but forgiveness looses the limitless, supernatural, saving, and healing power of heaven. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Wow, that is so amazing. Are you doing that? Is your church doing that? If not, why not? There is only one thing that stops this miraculous power of agreement, and that is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the greatest example of being double-minded. Just like the parable of the unforgiving servant, we want the forgiveness of God and others, but we often refuse to forgive others. We hold them to a higher standard than we do ourselves. We want mercy and grace for ourselves, but we want others to pay for their sins. When we do this, we are operating in a spirit of Antichrist. James 1:7 says, "For let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." An unforgiving spirit cannot agree with a forgiving spirit. The spirit of Christ cannot agree with the spirit of Antichrist. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, "A house divided against itself will not stand." Any nation, church, marriage, or individual that harbors unforgiveness will be double-minded and unstable. 2 Timothy 3:3-5 says these people are unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, having a form of godliness but denying its power, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Left unchecked, unforgiveness will grow deep roots of anger and bitterness. The fruit of the unforgiving believer is religion, dead works, and a form of godliness that has no power. There is only one way out of this terrible pit. We must admit that we have roots of unforgiveness, anger, and bitterness in order to be free from this demonic bondage. If this is you and you want to be free, please follow God's instruction in the following verse. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you just confess your sins to God, you are forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Welcome home. Now is a good time to ask God if there are any people you need to go to and ask forgiveness. It is crucial that you obey the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. After you make things right with others, you are now in right relationship with God and with man." Remember, when you lose your peace, unforgiveness is the root cause. Either you offended God or man, or someone offended you.
Keep short sin accounts with God and man, and you will walk daily in the supernatural peace and power of God. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Always remember what God did for you and what He wants you to do for others. You are forgiven to forgive. So, you have repented of an unforgiving spirit and you are in right relationship with God and man, but you still don't have peace. There is one more person that you must forgive. Usually, the last person we need to forgive is ourselves. Guilt and shame are usually the last to go. Guilt and shame are not sins, but they are the residue left behind from our sins, and they will steal your peace and joy. Once we are forgiven, the enemy uses guilt and shame to keep us in bondage. Satan wants you to believe that you deserve the shame and guilt, even though you have been forgiven of your sins. This is one of the enemy's greatest lies. Jesus died not only for our sin, but also for our guilt and shame. In the Amplified Version, Isaiah 53:5-6 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. The Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and iniquities of us all." Wow! It seems too good to be true.
but it is. Now is the time to give up the twins of guilt and shame. Along with our sins, they were nailed to the cross as well. You now know the whole truth. If this is you, then you have believed a lie. It has been exposed. Now, thank Jesus for dying for your sins, guilt, and shame. Receive His peace right now in Jesus' mighty name. The Hebrew and Greek definition of God's peace is nothing broken and nothing missing. Forgiveness is the answer for every problem and storm in our lives. If you daily walk in forgiveness, you will walk in God's power and His perfect peace. Psalms 103, 2 through 4, and verse 12 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Never forget, you are forgiven to forgive." Lack of forgiveness shuts the windows of heaven and blocks the flow of the kingdom power of Almighty God. Some believers have had extreme losses and they blame God. If you have done this, what follows is for you. You may have lost a child to an accident or sickness. You may have a spouse that has been unfaithful and or walked out on you. You may have sickness and financial problems. Consciously or unconsciously, you think all your losses are God's fault. Even though you may not have admitted it, you have deep-seated resentment against God. Resentment and bitterness toward God blocks His kingdom power from flowing in your life, and His power is the very thing you need. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There is no evil in God. He gave His Son to die for you on an old rugged cross." Satan has deceived you into blaming God for your losses. God loves you and wants to help you, but you must get rid of the resentment toward Him. Be honest with God and confess your sin of anger, resentment, and bitterness toward Him. God is not mad at you. He just wants you to come home where He can help you. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I hope you prayed this prayer and came back home where you belong. God is good, and He will heal and restore your broken heart. Don't forget that you are forgiven to forgive. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly." Romans 10:9 says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." In John 10:28, Jesus says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We as believers are eternally safe in the hands of Jesus, and the thief cannot steal our salvation. The only thing Satan can steal is our peace and our joy. His main weapon is unforgiveness. He knows that unforgiveness leaves the believer powerless and hopeless. On the other hand, living a life of forgiveness is God's plan for every believer. This is the life of an abundance of love, joy, and peace in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness is the key that opens up the flow of God's miraculous kingdom power in the believer, in the church, and in all our relationships. An abundance of forgiveness is the main ingredient in every successful marriage and in every thriving church. I hope you always remember that you are forgiven to forgive. All scripture used in this teaching are New King James Version, unless otherwise noted.